everybody. Welcome back to the Bullocker Podcast. I'm Moose Lundstrom.
And I'm Adam Vokey.
What's up, Mr. Vokey?
Not a whole lot.
Where are we at, Big Papa?
We are at the Brush Emporium.
We are at the Bullhooker Studios.
Bullhooker Studios.
In the bowels of the Emporium.
Yeah. He loves saying that, don't
you? I do. That's what I tell you. I would put that shit on a shirt, son. We got an old school friend with us today.
We do. We've known him for a while.
A long time. He traveled here from Denver to come do the podcast. Wow. It's very cool of him. Gio Giovanni, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. We're here broadcasting high from the bowels in the of the Emporium.
Bowels of the Brush Emporium.
I thought I was getting whacked when I came down the stairs.
Everybody does. Yeah.
You're walking into a basement with two very large men.
Yeah, right? Yeah. They're like, no, just go down there. I'm like, yeah, right. Go down there.
Yeah. It's down there, yeah. Because people come to the Emporium, and they're like, where do they film the podcast out? And they're like, well, you're not watching too much because you know it's in the bowels of the Emporium. So, Gio, the last time I think I saw you, it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. You were headlining, I believe, in Greeley. At the Down Under last time we saw each other.
I remember that.
Yeah, I can't remember why I was there. Somebody was performing. I came and you were the headliner that night. So
yeah, that was a great club.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was fun.
It was really fun.
Location, though, man. I mean, if that was a better location, it'd done.
Just the atmosphere of that club, the walking, you know, the down the stairs and all that. It was awesome.
Yeah,
and that was actually a good show that night.
It was a good show.
Because at the end, when I talked about the fight with my girlfriend, that literally happened on the way up to the show. And then I was like, I got to ask somebody. Fuck this. So I just went, and then I got off stage, and she was sitting at the bar in the back, and she's like, I can't believe you just made a joke out of our fight that we had, and she looks like 2 hours ago. I'm like, well, that's what I do.
That's what I do.
It's like, be careful what you say.
Yeah. you knew you were going to be material, baby. You knew you were going to be material.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know what you signed up for.
You know what you signed up for.
It's like Fluffy. I don't know if you saw that. I've done a bunch of shows with him. I met him when we did the benefit for the Batman shooting.
Oh, okay.
We did the benefit show, and that's where I first met him, and we became friends. But he tells me, he's like, the way he doesn't get in fights with his ex now is he says, as soon as she comes over and she's like, you know what, Gabriel? He goes, what? Go ahead. And he's like, what do you want? And she's like, oh, and she walks away. He's like, because it'll end up on stage, man. That's just the way it is with a comedian.
It will end up.
You know, we can't afford therapy. That's our therapy.
You know what? Every comic's pretty broken. You know what? But some of the best people on the planet. Some of the greatest, you know?
Yep.
How long have you been doing comedy?
I was thinking about that. I've been doing it professionally since 2009.
Okay.
But I've been doing it since about 2002.
Just spotty here and there.
Yeah, what happened was I was doing like open mics and I loved doing it.
Right.
And I always used to tell like Dick Black and all the old school guys, man, I love to do this for a living.
Yeah.
And I was working for a college and the economy dropped out. I got laid off.
Yeah.
And so all my friends are like, if you think you can do it, fucking do it. So I was like, you know what? I took my 401k, my savings, packed a bag, threw it in the back of my truck, and I hit the road. Any place that would give me 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
Just to polish and get the experience.
That's
awesome. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's been a long time. You were good when I saw you. So.
Oh, I appreciate
that. One of these days, we're going to have to bring you back down. We're doing a small show here.
Yeah.
Every now and again. Yeah.
I would love it.
Yeah, it'd be great, man.
Absolutely.
That'd be a good time. But before we get going on any of that stuff, we're going to talk about your comedy a little more here in a little bit. But cool. We're going to tell some stories.
All right.
But before we do stories, gosh damn, it's going to be a long day. Before we do tell stories, I do want to say, if you're new to this podcast, welcome to the Bullhooker Podcast. What we do on this podcast is bring on a guest. Today is Gio Giovanni. Gio's going to tell us three stories about his life. Now, here's a kicker. Only two of these stories are true. One's either borrowed, all the way made up, or it's an embellished story. We don't want to know what it is. We're just going to guess. It doesn't help our percentage at all. So
nope. not at all.
We used to ask, like, specify what the lie is, but it doesn't help us. So, and at the end of the podcast, Adam and I are going to try and guess to see if we can find out which one's the bullshit, or as we call it, the bullhucker.
The bullhucker.
Right. So before we let's just tell some stories.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to read them off?
I'll read them. We've got Allen Iverson, Old Bridge Road, and Jenny McCarthy.
Is it Old Bridge Road?
Old Bridge Ranch.
Oh, Ranch.
Yeah. Okay.
I was thinking of a song or something. I don't know. Old Bridge Ranch.
No, that's a whorehouse.
Surprised I didn't make that one.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right. Vokey, it's been a while. Why don't you pick one out, buddy?
Let's go with Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson.
All right. So I was working for a college and at the time, and it was a sponsor of Kroenke Sports, you know, and Kroenke has children's sports charity. So I got on the team. I went to the bowling alley with my team, and part of it was all the Nuggets were going to be there, and you got to bowl with one of the Nuggets, you know. So we're there. All the Nuggets show up. They're all wearing their baby blues, you know. Allen Iverson walks in probably about 20, 30 minutes late. He's got two cops in front of him, two cops in back of him, wearing a white instead of the baby blue. And if you've ever been to Lucky Strike downtown, he comes in, goes immediately to the right to where the pool tables are. And he has the cops stand in a half circle so nobody can get to him and nobody can talk to him. And this went on for like, I don't know, this went on for about an hour or so.
Right.
Meanwhile, we're bowling. I'm talking to, at the bar, I'm talking to, God, I just drew a blank.
A Nugget?
Yeah, the one that was married to...
Gamby? Marcus Gamby?
No, he was cool, though. He was a really cool guy. Yeah. He was... We asked him to take some autographs, which you weren't supposed to do.
Yeah.
And he was like, hold on, because he was sweating from bowling, you know. So he like had to wipe off, and then he took pictures and stuff like that. But Carmelo Anthony was sitting at the bar, and I used to have a problem with him, you know, but I snuck in these two basketballs. We weren't supposed to ask for autographs. I snuck them in, went up to the bar, and I'm like, hey, man, can you just sign these for my fiance's kids? And he was so cool. He's like, yeah, what are their names? Instead of just signing it, he actually personalized it, right? Well, then Allen Iverson comes over, and he's sitting there. And I just got this attitude from him, you know, just the way he was. And I hear him talking, and they're supposed to stay for the whole thing. And Allen Iverson looks at him, and he's like, you know what? I'm out. And as he gets up, he starts to walk out, and he's got the cops around him, you know. And I'm just fucking staring at him. And he like looks at me, he looks away, and he looks back at me. And I go, why the fuck did you even show up? And he was like, what? I go, this is for kids. I go, you're a fucking asshole. You come in late, you don't talk to anybody. And so he started coming at me. I started going at him. And the cops had to jump in the middle and kind of push us apart and get him out. And the cops came back in. And I was like, hey, man, I want to apologize. You know, the guy's just a dick.
Yeah.
And the sergeant, he goes... You don't, no need. He goes, we're his security detail. They're like, well, we've been in the same room with the guy for over 3 hours, and he hasn't said word one to us. Not even hello, not nothing, whatever.
These are actual police officers or
Denver cops.
Security?
Denver cops.
Wow, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And they were, because when he came to Denver, it was like the big deal, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody thought he was going to lead us to this championship. He just caused nothing but turmoil.
Yeah.
And right after that, when the Nuggets got rid of him, no one wanted to sign him. If you remember that, he had to go to Europe for a year for a season and play for $1 million because no one wanted to deal with his bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? So that was my Allen Iverson story. So I apologized to the cops, and they're like, we go with him because he was doing the Conoco openings and all that when they do the grand openings. And they're like, yeah, we sat there for 2-3 hours. Yeah, not word one. He was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
The jerk.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Prima donna, I'm sure. You know, I mean, I remember when he came out at Georgetown. Was it Georgetown? Yeah, Georgetown.
Yeah.
I remember just, he straight up said, I'm not a good person. I just put a lot of balls in the basket. That's.
And that's true.
That's, yeah, he's never claimed to be a decent human being, you know.
No.
And it's nice to know at least he follows through.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's a man of his word. Yeah. There we go. We can say something positive about him there.
I'm a Bulls fan, man, so that's tough for me. Go Nuggets, though. I always cheer for him. You know what I mean? Because that's cool that they're kicking so much ass now, but the thing that I love the most, because I couldn't stand Carmelo Anthony, I thought he's lazy. You know, he didn't play defense. Hell of an offensive player, but the guy didn't play defense, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's cute that he's number 15, and so is Mr. Josic now, and then he's so worried about who's going to retire that number. Well, who do you think, dude?
Exactly. who won the championship?
Yeah.
And who was instrumental
working
his ass off on both ends of the court to get that championship?
You know, and he's been the MVP twice?
Twice. 2 times, yeah.
Here's my favorite thing about that dude. They win the NBA championship, and they're like, they ask him about the parade, and he's like, go home. I don't, what parade?
You know, they go, he didn't want to go. He's like, what do you mean? I want to go home tomorrow. And they're like, no, there's a parade.
He wanted to go home and race his little cart behind a horse.
He didn't give a shit about it. I like this dude, man, you know.
And what was so cool is when they showed all the Nuggets and stuff there, he wasn't even in the camera. He was in the back with his little girl and his wife. Yeah. You know, he wasn't he wasn't hogging the spotlight like a lot of those guys. And he was the reason they were there.
Yeah.
Right. He don't do it for the fame. He does it because he loves to play the game.
Yep.
And so
that's what you gotta love.
Yeah.
And the fact that he looks clumsy as shit when he plays.
He does.
Oh my God, dude. He looks like he's so coordinated. But it works, man. It's
you're waiting for him to trip on the court. And,
yeah. You've seen like the Jordans of the world and the Kobe's so graceful. It's just so just
smooth, like they're floating.
And that guy, give me a ball, I put it in the basket right now. Exactly. I elbow this man in face and
and then I'll trip over the free throw line.
So, that's cool. I think that's cool. The Denver's doing well.
I do too. And aren't they number one again? The number one seed?
They were. I don't know.
I believe number one is.
Back down?
Yeah, who was number one? It's. I was shocked to see it, actually. It's close.
Yeah, they're up there.
Yeah, because the Spurs are last place. That shocked me. They always seem to be good. Who is number one? I can't remember. I just thought
Denver was number one like 2 or 3, 4 days ago, something like that.
They're going to go back-to-back, though. I mean, when it comes down to the money, they're hard to beat.
See, and also that's why I like that team is because when you have other teams that have superstars like the Bulls, I'm a huge Bulls fan too, but you had Michael Jordan, you had Scottie Pippen, you had superstars. Now the Joker is a superstar, but he's not acting like one, and it's still a team.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's putting in the effort. It's not one guy getting all the, you know, getting all the glory.
Right. Aaron Gordon's fun to watch. I thought it was cool when they won the NBA championship. You see him walking downtown Denver with a beer with no shirt on.
Did you see that? In the midst of this huge crowd and no security, he's just like, what's up? You know, I don't think a lot of people knew who he was at first.
Yeah.
Because you see some people look at and they're like double, is that, you know?
Yeah. Hey, go give me a beer, you son of a bitch. I won the championship.
And I will say something for Denver. There was nothing that happened as far as riot-wise.
Yeah.
The fans were, there was that one shooting, but it was completely unrelated.
Right.
You know, it was like some drug deal went bad, but there was no windows being smashed out. There was no fires. There was no brawls. Cars getting flipped over. They partied and then they went home.
You know, but I will take a little credit for that because we've had some championships in Denver already, so it's nothing new to them. Between the Broncos and Avalanche, there's five or six, you know. So,
and I think if I'm not mistaken, the Avs bought the first one.
Yes, they did.
I'm a big hockey guy. They did.
By a year, I believe, or 2 years.
2 years.
96, 95.
96, and then 2001.
Yeah.
Their first year here.
Yeah.
From Nordique, when they were the Nordiques.
Yeah, that was very cool. I want to like hockey in the worst way. I don't understand it well enough, but I want to like it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but we used to go to the Eagles. You ever go check out the Colorado Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those were fun.
Because those are guys that sack groceries during the day. You know, there's normal guys, so they kick the shit out of each other at those games. You know?
The last one I went to is a few years ago, but it was like both benches cleared, and, I mean, everybody was fighting. Even the goalies squared up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, like the officials would break up these two guys and they'd be skating opposite directions and see somebody from the other team. They'd get in a fight with two other different people and it was hilarious. There were sticks and gloves and helmets all over the ice.
That's awesome.
It was fun.
Fun to watch. What did you think about that one, Voke?
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that Alan just don't act or seem to be an asshole. He actually is.
Yeah, it's like he follows through. That's cool, you know.
But is he or isn't he?
Yeah. I hate you already. I'm already going to hate you.
That's okay. I got a long list of people that hate me. That's all right.
I liked it. And like I said, that doesn't surprise me at all. If that's a true story, I'm zero surprised, you know, that he's got that attitude. And the other guys are pretty new to it, though. I mean, Iverson came to the 76ers. He was, you know, the big man on campus. He was, you know, he's the man. So I'm sure having your ass kissed a lot, you know, what do you do? So.
And come on, Philly? Yeah. Philly's more of a gangster type city than Denver, far. Yeah. By far. I lived there for a while.
Did you?
Philly fans threw batteries at Santa Claus. I mean, come on.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
And it's the city of brotherly love.
That's what gets me.
they have the worst fan base. Ever. Like, the Eagles have the worst fans. It's been voted on over and over. They're the worst people, man. Yep. Like, don't take a jersey that's not green into that stadium because they will fuck you up. You know what I mean? So,
see, and my favorite team, just because my grandma had a crush on the quarterback growing up, so he became my favorite team, I'm a Raiders fan.
God damn you.
I know, right? But see, like, but I have a reason. My grandma loved Plunkett. She was in love with Jim Plunkett.
All right.
So as a little kid, my grandpa would say, hey, your boyfriend's on TV, you know, so we would root for the Raiders because grandma liked the Raiders.
Yeah.
And it just stuck. The Raiders and the Giants, because I'm originally from the Bronx. So those are my two teams.
And I'm a Cowboys fan, so.
Well, see, the Giants are probably my second team. I'm a huge Bronco fan, but the Giants are my second team because I was such a fan of Lawrence Taylor growing up.
LT.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Don't smoke that dude, crack.
That dude was high as shit on the field, man. He broke Joe Theismann's leg on cocaine.
He did, but he was fun to watch, man. He was him and Barry Sanders are the two non-Broncos I used to just love to watch, you know. Yeah. So amazing. So,
In Dallas, whenever there's a tornado, they tell you to go there. There's no chance of a touchdown there, man. Hey, I had to put up with it too for 20 years for the Raiders.
My sister sent me this picture one day. It said my vacuum broke, and then I put this on it, and now it sucks again, and it was the Cowboys logo. I get all that shit from her. She's a huge Bronco fan and lives in Texas. So.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I get it. People love to hate the Cowboys. They just love to hate them. They do. Man. Yeah, I'm indifferent to the Cowboys. I mean, you know.
I don't give a shit.
There's a kid at work, Luis, who's a massive Cowboy fan, you know, and I just gave him so much shit. I'm like, yeah, you guys are doing awesome until the playoffs show up, and then, you know, pack up. Pack up, bro. Exactly. And then, that poor kid. When they lost in the first round to who they play this, who kicked their ass in the first round this year?
I can't even remember.
It was a no name team, not a no name team, but last anyway. Anyway, I said someone to call that kid, make sure he's not, you know, on a fucking high roof with a SWAT team trying to talk him down. You know what I mean? So all right, that was Allen Iverson. I did like it. So like I said, pretty believable story. So we're going to do the second story. Before we do that, we have a sponsor now on the Bullhugger Podcast, Full Tilt Trailer Rentals. So they got a small video we're going to play right here. So check it out.
Hi, my name is Carolyn. My husband and I are the proud owners of Full Tilt Trailer Rentals, a small town rental service. We are here to serve Morgan County and surrounding areas with a full line of trailers to meet your needs. We offer car haulers, utility trailers, and dump trailers for a variety of tasks you may need to tackle. Our competitive pricing and rewards program is here to serve you best. You can contact us or watch all of our activity and promos on our Facebook page. But if social media isn't your thing, we are also available via phone call or text message at 970-467-2393 or 970-380-4720. We're like U-Haul, but better.
All right, so that was Full Tilt Trailer Rentals. Please make sure you check it out. It's a young couple starting a business here in northeastern Colorado. They've done a great job so far. I've had a few buddies that have used their service, you know, and so please make sure you show them some love. And if you go down there, tell them the Bullhugger sent you. What will it get you? Not a goddamn thing.
Nothing at all.
Please tell us the Bullhugger sent you so we keep our sponsorship. So.
Exactly.
At least they know the ads work.
Yeah, that's right.
They know you guys are earning your money.
That's right. That's right. They'll let us do some more whoring. So that's all we want. We're horrible people. Gio Giovanni, I don't know what to tell you.
That's all right.
That was Allen Iverson. Let's check out, Old Bridge Ranch and Jenny McCarthy. There's always one that sticks out that I want to hear the most, Gio, so we're going to do it last. Instead, let's hear Old Bridge Ranch.
Okay. So I had Old Bridge Ranch. I don't know if you guys know the story about the Mustang Ranch.
Yeah.
The guy that ran the Mustang Ranch, he got busted for tax evasion. So the federal government took over the ranch and was running the whorehouse.
That is amazing.
Right? So people were all upset that the government's involved in prostitution, so they just shut it down. Well, this guy gets out of jail, right next door opens up Mustang 2, goes right back into business, right? Well, right down the road over this old bridge, a friend of mine worked as a manager. It was called Old Bridge Ranch. And have you guys ever been to a bunny ranch?
I have not, no.
It is a trip. You walk up and it's like a prison. It's got this tall, like, chain link fence around it with barbed wire so their boyfriends can't get, you know, sneak in for freebies or whatever. And there's cameras. They got to buzz you in through that. Then you walk up to the actual front door. They buzz you in there and you walk in and there's this huge, like, living room with overstuffed couches and there's a bar and all the girls are walking around in, like, lingerie and shit like that.
Yeah.
And you basically pick which one or two that you want, and they have their own room.
Yeah.
They take you back to the room. Well, my buddy got stupid, and David was the guy that was running the Old Bridge Ranch, and he started fucking David's girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and David, like there's stories out there. It was very mafia backed. Yeah. You know, I remember sitting in David's office one time and the safe is open in the wall. He had, besides drugs and guns, he had at least $500,000 in cash just stacked up and sitting there.
I mean,
he wasn't afraid of any of that.
Yeah.
So my friend used to have to take his Jeep and do runs to California to pick up kilos for David because he was in the drug business.
Right.
Well, my dumb friend decides to bring this stupid bitch along for the ride. So we're in the middle of the desert and we stop at this little gas station for water to use the bathroom, you know, and me and Kent come out and his Jeep's gone. And we're what the fuck? Like, his Jeep is gone.
After you made the pickup?
No, before.
Okay.
Thank God.
Okay.
Thank God. Oh. But still, we're like in the middle of the desert and he used to carry a gun with him and he had his gun. And the gas station attendant's like, yeah, that blonde just left with your Jeep. And he's like, oh, what the fuck? And we're both, this is when I used to drink and do drugs and stuff. We're both just fucked up. So we don't know what to do. And a Nevada state trooper comes rolling in because it was up by Reno. And we didn't want to talk to him, but the owner of the place said, hey, this Jeep just got stolen. So he comes, talks to us. We get in his car. Kent's sitting in the front seat. Swear to God. Pulls his gun out and lays it on the front seat. This is back 90s, so this is way different time.
Right.
The cop is like, is that the only weapon you have on you? He's like, yeah. He goes, okay. He goes, just leave it there on the seat. We start going to the next town. Sure enough, as soon as we pull in the town, there's Kent's Jeep. And the girl's like in the bar. So we end up getting the Jeep back. He goes in and just has it out with her. Ends up leaving her in the middle of the desert, basically. We go and make the pickup in, I think it was Palm Springs, we made the pickup. So we made the pickup, and we come back. We get all the way back to Reno, to Old Bridge Ranch. David finds out that this girl was with us. He doesn't know what happened, but he's wanting to know where she's at. And we're trying to explain to this guy, who is not a friendly guy at all, like, what happened.
Right.
Long story short, we had to go back and get her and bring her back. Then she ratted out my friend Kent, that because Kent was fucking her, and she found out that he was also fucking David's girlfriend, right? And I'm like, he could never keep his dick in his pants. I'm like, dude, there's a time and a place, and like, you don't fuck with certain people's girls. You know, he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So basically, David sent this guy Carlton that used to wear this long black trench coat, and he would carry guns too. Very scary dude. He would sent him over to Casey's house. Casey wasn't there. Casey was married. Kent, his wife is there. He tells his wife, you better tell Kent and his friend to get the fuck out of town or they're going to end up in the desert, like in a hole,
right?
Which this guy has done before. He got busted for it. And so she panics. She calls. She gets a hold of me. By that time, I was on my way back to Denver. And she tells me the story. So I have to go to his apartment. She already had a U-Haul. We pack up all his shit, and I drove him back to Denver so that he wouldn't get killed by the mob for fucking these girls and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a good friend, Gio. You're a good friend.
Yeah. I was, like I said, I was drunk and high. I was,
yeah.
All I saw was titties and pussy. Why are we leaving? Why? I don't get it, right? Yeah.
The good time is here, my friend.
Yeah.
The good time is here. I've seen it.
Exactly.
It smiled at me. It made me an offer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I,
the Pinocchio winked at
the
me.
The Pinocchio winked at me.
That was a great movie.
In Pueblo. Pueblo's notorious for old mafia. I don't know if it's still there. It's here nor there. But that's a very famous saying here in Pueblo all the time. Was, hey, there's a lot of holes in the desert, my friend.
Yeah.
You know? And you hear that a lot in Pueblo. And I never really was like, well, fun fact, what's that mean? You know?
Really? You know? Yeah. Is that where they test shovels?
Like, yeah. I was like, I don't know what that means. And so my buddy's like, that means they'll leave you in the desert and they'll bury you, kill you. Oh.
And there's actually, there's a book, I can't remember what it's called, but David was friends, and I'm trying to think of this guy's name. I'll probably remember it at the end, but he was the congressman from Nevada. That's how high up he had control. So anything he wanted in the state, David was able to get because he had dirty people.
Wow.
And this politician ended up going to prison for it, and he wrote a book, And it was a book about all the holes in the desert and the people he put in there and stuff like that. It was crazy.
If you know what he's talking about, put it down in the comments below. I'd love to check that out. So, absolutely. That's crazy.
It was crazy, man. It was insane. And if you talk to people that are from Reno, they'll tell you that's a total Reno story. And they're like, that's 100% believable that happened.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like people think Reno is just like Vegas because of gambling. It is like Reno is the old school Vegas. What Vegas was in the 60s and 70s, Reno's still that way.
Really?
It's a shithole, but it's still very mob controlled.
It's by a lake. It's by, right? Or no?
By Lake Tahoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right on the border.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Okay. No, I've never been to Reno, man.
I've been once.
Really?
Yeah, we were working down there, so I went down for a site visit.
Oh, okay.
And it was, like you said, like kind of a shithole. I kind of got that dirty, dingy, not real friendly vibe.
Yeah.
And I was only there for one night, so.
It's old school.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Fremont Street used to be.
Yes.
They don't like the tourists coming around, but it's their bread and butter.
Well.
So they tolerate.
When we were for Budweiser, there was a new GM from Vegas. We'll call him Frank. We'll call him Fred. it was Fred. He was the Miller Lite guy. He was the head of Miller Lite in Vegas. Fred always told us stories and shit. He always had empty promises and shit. Dennis was the maintenance man and the most accident-prone son of a bitch on the planet. Well, he was going to Vegas, and so Fred's like, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to – Binion's. I know the guys from Binion's, right? So I hooked him up with the maintenance guy from Binion's to kind of give him a back scene tour of into how it all works. And, you know, it was – and Dennis was into it. He said it was cool. But this guy from Binion's had been there a long, long time when, like, old man Binion was still alive, right?
Yeah.
He was telling this Dennis a story about some guy that was in there losing his money one day, and he's starting to kill old man Binion just at the table, drunk, talking shit. They kidnapped this dude. Here's what they do to him. This is the shittiest thing I've ever heard. They hold him hostage basically for a week. And what do they do for a week? They shoot him up with heroin.
Oh, fuck.
They shoot him up with heroin for a straight week till he's nice and addicted. And then they just let him go.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
They make him a junkie and then just release him. Have a good day. What is shittier than that, bro?
That's fucked up.
You know? You don't got to kill him. You just took his life.
Yeah, you
know?
Did.
Yeah.
Now he's in, basically, he's living hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that story is true. That's what the guy told Dennis.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sure back then it was, the mob is the one who
they started
Vegas. Yeah. It was, yeah.
You know?
What do you think about that story, Voke?
That was insane.
You know what my favorite part is? People don't want the government running a whorehouse. You know what I mean?
Because they're already fucking a cyber day anyway. Right. So what's the difference?
Well, at least it's
legal.
Yeah. I heard a rumor that Uncle Sam was bisexual because he'll fuck anybody. So I think that's got to be true.
At least when they have the whorehouse, you get the fucking you want, not the fucking you get, right?
Just think about it. Like, nobody in the government said, hey, this is a bad idea. We're running a whorehouse. They just grabbed it and started running a whorehouse.
Oh, my God.
Like, if we're in control, no one will know we go there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know how bad they probably messed it up with all their bureaucracy. Oh, I mean, it's probably horrible. You know, like the hookers are probably, you know what? I'm sick of filling out paperwork.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, do I really need to count the positions? Do I need to do all this, you know?
And by the way, before we get off the mob, if you go to Vegas, there's a place called Capo's. Go in there and ask for 9-digit Dave. He is awesome. He'll take care of you. Tell him Gio sent you. 9-digit Dave at Capo's. It's on Sahara right off the strip. Awesome. It's a speakeasy place. Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm going to assume he doesn't have one of his fingers.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And he won't tell me the story behind it.
He will or he will not?
He will not. It's just 9-digit Dave. That's what everybody knows him as.
9-digit Dave. Well, you know what? It just rolls off the tongue. So why not, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. I like that story. Like, I just like the fact that government will just, they don't give a shit.
Right?
They'll, you know, if they could take over a church, they would.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Rebate God, you know? We wrote the Bible.
Yeah,
amending certain parts of it. All right. So far, so good. You've not disappointed, Gio, as I didn't think you would. So it's always fun to have comics come on the podcast.
I appreciate it.
When's the last one we had a comic? Matt Baca? You know Matt, right?
Oh, I love Matt. Me and Matt's done road work together.
Yeah, he came on. He was
that Matt or was there?
There's probably a few. We got one coming tomorrow,
who was
too.
That did the comedy show here at the...
Oh, yeah, Todd Johnson.
Yeah,
Todd. Todd and Travis Tate. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But me and Matt were doing stuff up in Wyoming, and it was snowing like crazy, and we almost went off the road a couple times. And this is a total Matt Baca, if you know him. We stop at a gas station. I come out, and there's the Green Lantern Pez dispenser glued to the dashboard. He goes, "That's the patron saint of comedians." I was like, "All right, dude." So he's like, "He'll protect us." I'm like, "All right, cool." You know?
Yeah, Matt's one of my favorite guys, dude. He's fantastic. Yeah, he came down. He does speaking now. He does
motivational speaking.
The community college called and asked, you know, they wanted something that was kind of funny. And I said, well.
Oh, Matt's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's clean for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. They're like, we need someone that's clean. And I don't know many of those people. Right. But I'll see.
I'll call
Terry Park and Greg and see what she can work out. But she sent us Matt. And
if you talk to him, ask him about Iceberg in Wyoming.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great story. If we have time at the end, I'll tell you.
All right. Yeah, all right. We might have to make time. So, all right. We have two down, one to go. We have Alvin Iverson down, Old Bridge Ranch. Last one is the one I want to hear the most, Jenny McCarthy. I'm a fan.
Oh, yeah, me too.
What happened was I was friends with like Willie B and all those guys. When KBPI used to be downtown before they went out to the tech center. And so I would get free passes to the events and stuff like that. Well, you guys remember when MTV did the Ultimate Winter Getaways?
No, but
they did them for spring break.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, they used to do like the Ultimate Spring Break and the Ultimate Winter Getaway. And they did one in Aspen. And so I got tickets. You know, they got a bus ride up there and stuff. And I was with my friend Jeff. He won't mind if I use his name.
What's up, Jeff?
Yep, Jeff Anderson. Quick quality. So we're riding up there. Budweiser, I don't know if you guys remember this, they tried to do like a series of like black and tan and different kinds of like before microbrews took off.
Yes, yes.
Well, they were giving away samples, you know. So me and Jeff were like, dude, come on, hook us up. And he's like, I can't. You guys are going to be skiing. I was like, dude, we ain't going skiing. Fuck that. Yeah. We're going up to Aspen to fucking party and hang out with the like Jenny McCarthy and people like that.
Yeah.
So he's feeding us free beer all the way up there. You know, this is when it was a 4-hour bus ride.
Right.
So we're hammered when we get there already. And Jenny McCarthy, she meets us, you know, and she says hi to everybody and does all this. Goo Goo Dolls were playing. That was the musical guest. That'll show you.
Still cool, man.
I liked them. Yeah. You know, they weren't like my type of music, but they're not bad.
I like them.
But she was kind of a bitch, you know, she was kind of standoffish and shit. So away I was like, yeah, fuck off. You know, you're a hot girl, but there's also a whole street of hot girls that just aren't famous. Right. You know what I mean? So we go about our drinking, and after I get thrown out of the Hard Rock, we go over to, what's the other one? Hard Rock Cafe, Planet Hollywood, when it still was there. I end up passing out on the bar upstairs. So we get tossed out of there. So Jeff's trying to sober me up. So I'm in this mood to where I don't give a shit.
Right?
Well, we sit at this table. Jenny McCarthy's sitting immediately to my left. Jeff is to my right. Some of the guys from the band Presidents of the United States.
They
were sitting across the table from me.
It's lump.
Lump.
In my head.
Peaches.
Yeah. Peaches, exactly.
Yeah, we're old.
So you're like,
I have that CD.
Yeah. It's a weird way to use to admit it, but yeah, we're old.
I think that was their only two hit songs.
There was that one about "Fuck You, Kitty," about the kitty scratching.
It was on the CD. I remember that. Excuse me. So anyway, we're all at this table. Planner's Peanuts starts walking around because they were trying to do like the habanero flavored peanuts. That was when it was all starting out.
Oh yeah.
So they're handing out those big tubes of peanuts to everybody. And I'm drunk off my ass. We're all laughing and stuff. Jenny's being kind of cool. And so I look at Jeff and I'm like, Jeff, watch this. And he looked at me and he was like, oh, God. Like, what are you going to fucking do? Because he knows me too well.
Yeah.
And it was empty. So I was like, hey, Jenny, want to touch my nutsack? And she fucking went ballistic. I mean... ballistic. Like she starts, you fucking man. And this big Samoan motherfucker, her bodyguard, grabs me by the coat, pulls me out of the chair. And I'm so drunk. He's like twice your size. And I look at him. I go, you touch me again, we're going to have a fucking problem, you know? And Jeff's like, dude. So Jeff gets up, Jenny's screaming and yelling. The guys from Presidents United States don't know what the fuck to think about this, you know? And I just keep going like, I just wanted her to touch my nutsack, you know? And I just kept, and everybody's like, shut up. And I kept saying that. And they kind of ushered me away. And we ended up getting thrown out and had to wait for everybody to leave for outside in Aspen in the wintertime.
I bet you're the third dude that day to say, hey, Jenny, you want to touch my nutsack? You know? Although, what peanut was it? Planters?
Planters, yeah.
But that should be their fucking or their saying.
Do you want to touch my nutsack?
Yeah,
right?
Their motto.
Yeah. You'll love our nutsack.
Yeah, absolutely.
God, you know what? Trademarked GOGO.
Yeah, that's right. You know what I'm saying? Planters, peanuts, and the salty sacks. You know, get a salty sack of peanuts.
Our salty nutsack.
Salty nutsack. There you go.
That's fantastic.
That would be, you know what? Because we all know the CEO of Planters is probably watching this. They, you know, we're,
oh, of course.
We're huge in the heads of that audience.
Yeah, we're worldwide.
Yeah, yeah. So, you
know, he's Joe Rogan doesn't have shit on us.
That's right. You know what? All joking aside, in like 7 months, we're going to see that on TV. I'll be like, someone get GOG. We've been robbed. We've been robbed, sons of bitches. I like to put Planters penis nutsack in my mouth, yes. You know. People, oh my God!
Where's your nutsack?
Gargle my nutsack.
Have you ever seen that Kmart commercial like way back in the day about shipping pants?
Yeah, like, I shipped my pants.
Hey, oh, I can ship my pants. I ship my bed. That's a fantastic.
I shipped a shirt.
I just that's what you need, bro, because you remember those commercials.
Absolutely, but today's society, that's what's tough about being a comedian today. Oh, yeah. You know, you either have to toe the line and like tone it back, or right, you have to just not give a fuck and go full balls.
But man, it's a slippery slope because very much some people get away with it, some people don't.
Right.
And it's like luck of the draw, right?
It's the audience in the city that you play.
Yeah.
You know? I do like Jew jokes, right? Okay. But I hit everybody. I hit myself. I hit Jews, Mexicans, Blacks, Asians. I hit everybody because that's the way it should be. That's the way it used to be.
You're an equal opportunity offender.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I talk about how I'm on dating websites, you know, and I was so desperate. Sorry about that. I was so desperate. I went to J-Date, right? And I told people, it's like, this is for Jewish, you know, people looking to date. And I was like, I've dated Jewish girls before. Okay. It just didn't work out because the mom was too controlling. But I thought, you know, if at first you don't succeed, try again, right? That's the motto. And if anyone should have taken that to heart, it's the Germans.
Yeah. Right?
But then I thought to myself, even if I find a nice Jewish girl, how am I going to get a hold of her? Because I don't think they have numbers anymore.
That's horrible. Horrible. For shame. For shame, Gio.
And then the first thing I say when they're like, you can't tell Jew jokes, I'm like, Auschwitz.
Auschwitz. You know, Two for the Road is booked comedy shows for a decade, you know. Right. COVID stopped us from doing our 10 years, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
And over the path of those 10 years, Gio, there's been some comics on stage, and I've had to look at Adam like, did he just say that out loud? Did he say the quiet part out loud?
Wow.
And it's funny because some jokes, people do this. The audience does this. They look around.
Oh, yeah.
Look to the right, look to the left, and then they start laughing. Like, does anybody fit that skin pigmentation? Or yeah. No? Okay, well, then let's laugh, you know?
I do that with a rant about political correctness and black vampires. And once I tell that joke, I love it because all the white people look around to see if there's a black woman in the crowd, you know, and they're usually laughing their ass off. Then they start laughing. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think. Patrice O'Neill said it best. He said, you are a true comedian when half your audience is in hysterics laughing and the other half is in complete shock at what you just said.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, that's a true comedian.
Right.
And I agree with that 100%.
Right.
Dave Chappelle once said, he's like, everybody hears my jokes like about trans people and this and that, and they interpret it that I don't like women, I don't like trans people. And he's like, and this I agree with, he said, stand-up comedy is an art form. We produce art, and it's up to you to interpret it the way you want to interpret
right.
it. Doesn't mean I meant it that way. It's right. the way you interpret it. So it's like everybody's entitled to their opinion, but it's like you're not entitled to get physical with someone your opinion.
Yeah, we'll get more into the comedy here in a bit, but I do have some feelings on that. So Well, what did you think about that, Vogue?
That was pretty good.
Salty nuts. I swear salty to God. That's what Rob's at. We're going to feel like idiots. We could have been in a much nicer studio a year from now.
Right. we're going to be on you guys are going to be on like Pandora. Right. Yeah,
Spotify.
Hey, everybody.
Studio.
Welcome back to the Bull Liquor Podcast. Yeah. Salty Nutsack Studio. Yeah. Salty Nutsacks. Put them in your mouth today. Yeah, you know?
Exactly. Or no longer bowels in the basement. We're now salty nutsacks.
Bowels to nutsacks.
We have risen to nutsacks.
Buddy, we don't want bowels and nut sacks in the same in the same conversation ever. So
they're too close on the body as it
that's
is.
Right, that's right. That's right. We're gonna send mixed signals. That's all I'm gonna say. We don't need that. So all right. Gio, before we guess, we always rock, paper, scissors to see which one of us has to guess first.
Okay.
How do you rock, paper, scissors, Gio?
Just like that? One, two, then either scissors.
All right, three pumper, so baby.
Paper or rock.
Yeah. So I'm with you. We do it the right way.
Okay.
This guy does a four pump, then you go rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. What I love is when you ask that question, everybody looks at you.
Yeah.
And then they do it so they figure out how.
They look at me and they do this. Does this some bitch really not know how to rock, paper, scissors?
Or we could do ink a dink, bottle of ink. The cork fell out and you stink. Stick with tradition.
We had a guy from the Philippines on. He was great. He's a local teacher. And there they don't have rock, paper, scissors. It's the same thing, but it's called bota bota bink or some shit.
Ping. Bota bota ping?
Something.
Something.
But I'm like, I don't understand where there's two botas and one ping. How do you know which bota are we going with? You know? And it just feels like it's really easy to bullshit somebody with bota bota ping. So, all right. Are you ready? Three?
Yep. Oh. That almost looked choreographed.
Yeah. I was like, did you guys plan this?
Yeah. Someone's at home listening to this being like, are they touching each other right now? Because all yours. Is it kind of weird in the bowels of the emporium?
They were just talking about nutsacks.
The salty nutsacks.
Yeah, I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that comedian, and I shouldn't even say the joke because I can't credit the right person. But he had that joke about how gay porn sounds like tennis. Do you know what I wish I could get credit with whoever had that joke, but it was fantastic. All right, we got three great stories. Allen Iverson, Old Bridge Ranch, and Jenny McCarthy. You've done a really great job, but I do have one in mind.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to say Jenny McCarthy. Well, maybe I don't have one in mind. I think Old Bridge Ranch is a true story. I don't say anything. I think Old Bridge Ranch is a true story. It had a lot of detail to it. It seemed like it's an outrageous story. It's out there. But I think it's a true story. And that's the kind of story I like on the Bull Hugger Podcast, those crazy stories of your life that you want to share with people. You know what I mean? Right. That's why this podcast exists. Allen Iverson, I was leaning towards. I don't know. I'm going to say Allen Iverson's a true story. And I'm going to bite me. I'm almost leaning towards that one. I want to pick Jenny McCarthy. I don't really have a great reason why. It just seems out of the three, the most likely to add to embellish at the end or embellish part of it. So I you've done a great job, man. So I'm going to go with Jenny McCarthy. What do you got?
Okay, I'm with you. I'm thinking, at first I was thinking Old Bridge Ranch was the bull hucker, but like you said, I mean, it's outrageous. But there's a lot of detail. So I'm going to say that one's true. I'm going to say Jenny McCarthy's true also.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Allen Iverson. Just because, like, the whole, like, when you, like, lipped off to him and you guys almost get in a fight, I don't know, I kind of feel like that's easy to throw in there and kind of make up and add to the story, so that's why I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Plus, you're what, 6'2"?
6'3".
Yeah. So, Allen Iverson's going to have to climb on somebody's back to take a swing.
He's like, what, you know what I mean? 5'10"?
Yeah, if that. So, all right. So, you're taking Allen Iverson.
I'm going with AI.
I'm telling Jade McCarthy, before you flip that over, I do want to say thank you to the Brush Emporium. These guys have been great. They've given us the space down here to have a podcast studio to do our podcast the way we want to do it. They've been so generous, so supportive of this. So thank you so much. Did you have a chance to really look around upstairs?
No.
Okay, this is kind of a small town thing, but everything up there is from local vendors, people who make their wares, you know, that do their arts and crafts. So if you want an original gift, don't go to Amazon. Come down here to the Brush Emporium, check out what they got. They also got great food here, man. The pizza, the pasta, the chicken wings. It's a frat house upstairs. So
the boots and the belts up there, those are amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. I did kind of look at those as I walked by. Yeah. They're incredible.
There's all kinds of pasta and hot sauce and shirts and
the boots, Guzman boots. Yeah, they're imported from Mexico. I can't remember which part of Mexico, but yeah, they're awesome boots. They got some pretty cool boots up there. They're eye catching for sure. So
absolutely,
and it's a local couple that do it. So just like that, local people support local business, because when you don't support local business, it goes away.
Right.
You know. So please support them, because they do support us. Right. Yeah. What else, Bo?
And then if you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and click that subscribe button. It's a small click for you, but a huge click for us.
That's right. And no matter where you're listening to us, whatever platform, leave a rating or review. If you liked what you heard out of old GOG of Vine Day, which you should have, because it's been pretty fun, leave a rating or review. You know what I mean? Or right now, go to the comments section and pick which of these, Allen Iverson, Old Bridge Ranch, or Jenny McCarthy, you thought was the bullhucker before we do the reveal.
All right.
See at home what they think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Having said all that good stuff, Gio, let's see what you got, brother.
Do I win a prize if I stump one of you?
Fuck. Well, Old Bridge, get the fuck out of here. We should have known when the government successfully.
That was true.
They successfully did something.
What is not true about that story?
It didn't happen to me.
Oh, it's a borrowed story.
It's a borrowed story. It happened to my friend. I just inserted myself with him.
Oh, wow.
Along the story.
But it is a true story then.
It's somebody else's. And it's not all of it's true.
So those are tough. I think the borrowed ones are the toughest ones, because, like I said, it is a true story.
Right.
Just not your true story.
Right.
Allen Iverson's a true story.
Yep. 100%. And I really did almost go to blows with him. I really did.
Well, you know, you should know when you were hitting him in the face, saying, this is just practice.
Exactly.
We're talking about practice.
But, well, you know, I get passionate about children's charities, you know, especially when you're somebody like that.
Right.
When you're that big of a star and you're in your city, to treat the whole thing like that, it's kind of bullshit, because each one of the teams was paying $10,000 to bowl with the Nuggets.
Right.
And he's one of them. He was one of the big stars. It's like, you know, why do you do that?
And you don't know how big you are to those kids.
Right, exactly.
I've gotten to this age where I'm not impressed by a lot of people. There's like one or two people on the planet that I would be flabbergasted to meet, like speechless. You know what I mean? Yeah. And most of them are dead. You know what I mean? Like Dangerfield, I'd have a hard time with Dave, because that's my guy. I'm a huge Dangerfield fan. But there's not many. The older you get, it's just not a big deal.
Don Rickles would have been one for
me.
It would have been awesome.
It would have been amazing to meet him. But there's very few of those people anymore, right? Yeah. I mean, they're just another adult, sad to say. But when there's kids, those kids look up to you. They, you know, that's a huge deal for you to show up, you know. So shame on you, Allen Iverson.
And I think for me, living today, if I could meet anybody, it would definitely be, now I'm having blank skit, The Matrix.
Oh, Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, he's amazing.
I hear about him, he is the most down-to-earth, just nicest guy in the world.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they show him on the subway just riding like anybody else, because he splits from New York and L.A.
Yeah.
And I read this story in Rolling Stone. They went to do an interview with him, and they couldn't find him. He wasn't in the restaurant. And so they went out around looking for him. He had lost track of time, and he was sitting on a parking block next to a homeless person just talking to him.
He
wanted to know what his story was, what happened in his life. Right. And I'm like, that is an amazing human being.
Dude, you can go all day of stories about that guy that I've heard.
There's nothing negative.
He doesn't live in a fancy, just a regular apartment.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy's got money to burn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he is probably one of the biggest stars, top 10 on the planet, you know?
And I seriously dare anybody to come up with a story negative about him.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything negative about the guy.
And that's tough to do, man, when you're his size, you know?
Exactly.
That's tough to do, man. Yeah. So, the person I would meet right now, here's a world-class asshole, but he was my idol growing up, is Michael Jordan. I'd love to meet Jordan, but I just hear horrible things. So I really don't want to ever meet him, you know?
And, you know, it's weird, like, because I know some people that are talked about in the paparazzi and stuff. Yeah. You have to know the whole story.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it could be, do you guys remember Warrant, the band Warrant?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Okay, John Janie Lane was a really good friend of mine for years.
Oh, wow.
And I met him at Westminster Mall when their very first album came out. They were signing autographs. And then we went to Bangles and partied with him at Bangles. And we just became friends. But like he said, he's like, when you're in the public eye, he goes, your parents could have just died. Your dog got hit by a car. Your sister has cancer. And they told you, you know, you're impotent.
Yeah.
And you got to go on stage and be what they expect.
Yeah.
Right. You can never have a bad day as a celebrity. Because right,
yeah. they don't care.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so I've heard the same thing about Jordan, but I have to wonder when that happens, like how much of that is they caught him on a bad day.
Yeah, or, that's true.
You know,
but I was a massive Jordan fan. You know, when people come to the house and I have to give up my bed to a family member, they're like, you're going to go sleep in the Jordan shrine.
Yeah.
Is what you're going to see.
23, baby.
Yeah.
Has he ever sold his house? I don't think he did sell
it. The one in Chicago with the old hardwood floor from the United Center.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if he has or not.
Yeah. With the big 23 on the gate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
that's been for sale for like 10, 12 years. Easy.
Who's got that money, bro? You know, if I won the lottery, I'd probably buy Jordan's house. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
That's the ultimate shrine.
Yeah. Why not, man? So
have him autograph the front door.
Yeah. You know? Who would you meet, Adam?
Oh, I don't know. I'd kind of like to meet Shaq.
I would love to meet Shaq.
Because kind of like Keanu, I've heard a ton of good stuff about Shaq.
Yeah. Right.
Just like one of the things that I heard was he was going to an interview or something, and he was kind of running late, and there was a guy in front of him in this just beat-down, old clunker, like, Suburban or something. And it was, like, smoking and broke down right in front of him, and he got out. You know, like I said, he's running late to an interview or a business meeting or something, and he goes up there and he tells the guy, he's like, get in, I'm going to go buy you a new car.
He did. Yeah, I heard that same story. I mean, guys like that are, you know.
He does that all the time.
Yeah.
I heard a story. He was in a jewelry store. And a guy was getting married for the first time and was trying to find a ring. And Shaq walked up. He goes, don't worry about it. He goes, pick out any ring, whatever ring you want for your bride. And he bought their engagement rings.
That's cool.
You know? And then, of course, I'm sure you've seen the video on YouTube where he sees that kid in Walmart. He's like, you got a bike?
Yes, I have seen it.
And the kid's like, no. And he goes, ask your mom if I can buy you a bike. You know? And I just saw an interview with him. And he said he is so blessed, as he puts it. He goes, I try and pay it forward every day. He goes, I try and do something nice for somebody every single day.
You know, that's cool that they're generous, but also the celebrities I really like are the mischievous ones that have fun with people, like Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
The stories about Bill Murray. Yeah, I mean, like where he's walking through the restaurant, he reaches over to some chick's plate, takes food off, eats it, then tells her, nobody will believe you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or these guys were IHOP drunk. One of them passed out. So Bill Murray happened to go in there, I guess, took a picture of the guy all passed out. So then they woke up. They're like, dude, last night we met Bill Murray. Yeah, you met him too. There you are drooling on him, you know? I think those are great stories.
See, I've heard stuff like that about Tom Hanks too.
Yeah.
Just messing with people and doing selfies and crashing weddings. And
John Cena's huge about it.
Oh, yeah.
With kids, especially with kids. You know what I mean? He'll surprise them.
Well, you can tell he's got a good sense of humor about stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like him. I like him. He's there's some of those guys that are, you can tell they're funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, Thor, you know, Chris Hemsworth. The Thor from the comic book, I was a big nerd growing up. That's not the Thor from the comic book. The Thor from the comic book is very much he's a ruler, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I think Chris Hemsworth had great comic timing. And when Marvel discovered that, they're like, oh, well, you're just going to be funny from now on.
Right.
The funny God of Thunder.
Yeah.
You know, which has gotten a little old, but I mean, he is pretty funny. He's got great timing. So
absolutely.
I'd like to meet The Rock, too.
Yeah, I've heard.
I've heard good stuff about him, too. So there was I follow him on Instagram. And one of the things he always does is he'll, get his phone out when he's driving and pulling up to a stop sign. And he'll, start videoing himself. And there'll be, a tour bus, the Stars tour bus.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, hey, do you guys know where The Rock lives? And they just lose their shit.
Yeah.
And then he'll, wave and take pictures and whatever and then drive off.
See, that's cool.
Is that a curse to be that famous, though?
I think it's how you handle it.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And he kept himself hidden away, so when people saw him, they went absolutely apeshit.
Yeah.
Then you see people like Taylor Swift, who I'm not a fan of her music, but as a human being, she's amazing at what she does. But she's out with her fans. She, you know, people see her and they'll take pictures. And I think it's how accessible you are.
Yeah.
You kind of have to embrace it.
Absolutely. Because, I'm dating myself, but when Van Halen, when David Lee Roth and they came out, David Lee Roth said, being famous, he said, if you buy the land, you get the Indians, it comes with it. You can't just be famous and want to be left alone,
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Right. And the way I look at it, for sports people, anybody like that that's in the public eye, when someone asks you for a picture or something, they're the ones paying your salary.
That's yeah. exactly what I was going to say.
They're the ones buying your car.
Where you're at. Right.
Exactly.
You didn't get there by yourself.
Right. right. They help buy your house. They help buy your Ferrari. They help right. whatever. And it's like you would not have a career, you know, if you're not a sports person, if you're a celebrity at like entertainment, you would not have a career if it wasn't for people like that.
Absolutely.
When you go to sporting events and they start heckling some of these players and they get upset, look, man. Exactly. Everybody here paid a lot of money for these tickets. Yep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're you're going to hear their opinion. You know, and so
James is the worst.
Yeah. Oh, you LeBron know. James is dog He's such shit.
A, he is.
I can't stand that guy.
No, he has people thrown out because they're heckling him. It's yeah, like, yeah. come on, dude, grow get some thicker skin.
Yeah, dude, you're 6'10".
Right.
Of muscle, bro. Right. Are you really? Is the little white girl offending you? Is that what's exactly. happening right now, King exactly. James? Dude.
Right. Oh, that, when he did that in Miami, remember that?
No.
They had a press conference after he won, you know, one of the championships, and they were asking him questions, and he told the press, you can find this on YouTube, he's like, I won't answer any questions unless you address me as King James.
Ah, bullshit.
Yeah, that's what he said.
No, I'm sure it happened, yeah. but I think it's bullshit.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. dude. It's like, it could be gone that quick.
Oh, yeah.
Car accident, a stroke, whatever. It could be gone that fast.
Look at his son trying to get in the NBA now. I mean, come on. Let's not even go down that road. I can't stand him. I'm a Jordan guy, so I mean, I naturally hate him.
Funny Bill Murray story. You ever heard the story about when he goes to the neighborhood bar and jumps behind the bar to serve?
No.
No matter what anybody orders, he pours him a shot of tequila. So he'll be like, what can I get you? And they'll be like, oh, a martini. All right, there's one tequila. What can I get you? And they'll be like, a Bud Light. And all right, there's a tequila. And he just goes all the way down the line. That's all he serves is tequila.
Nice.
Oh, that's hilarious. You know?
I read a book, Live from New York. Have you ever read it?
No.
It's the history of Saturday Night Live as to the eyes of the cast members.
Oh, wow.
And it talks about a bar, the Belushi Aykroyd. I think Bill Murray was in on it. Bought in New York next to the studio somewhere, this old dive bar where the staff would go or the cast would go Saturday night after the show. They'd go party at this bar. Could you imagine going back in time and walking into that bar to a Belushi, an Aykroyd, you
Eddie
know what I mean?
Murphy.
Steve yeah. Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This is the most famous group of people you'll ever be around. You know what I mean? Right. So that's
and at that point in time, they were probably just starting out.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah, right. Drinking and, oh, my God, making horrible decisions. I'm sure.
Gilda Radner. You know, all those people. I mean, when you start naming all the stars that came out of early Saturday Night Live, it's mm-hmm. unbelievable.
Dude, it's been the biggest starter for anybody, dude. You know, I mean, most of your major comedy movie stars are from Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
I don't think it's been as funny anymore.
They're getting better. They're getting back on it. Yeah, I've seen some pretty good ones. You've seen the Corksuckers?
No.
About they're a winery. And we'll be the Corksuckers. And they suck the corks out. And it's this tour bus. And they're like, how do you get to be a corksucker? And, are all corks the same? Well, no, there's some bigger corks to suck. And there's a little corks to suck. And dude, look up Corksuckers for Saturday Night Live. It's fantastic, right. Dude.
I'm glad they're going that way because I think they got a little too careful
with
their humor, because before in the early days it was like, wow, got away with that, like, you know.
Well, that's what they were known for. They were they were cutting edge, you know.
And I think Lorne Michaels, kind of with the whole shift of cancel culture, everything kind of pulled back, and I think that's a wrong move personally.
Right. I mean, it was a running joke that Saturday Night Live, the way they voted on a president was who on the cast could do the president's the best. Like, if they had someone that could do, you know, like a Reagan better, we need Reagan to win because we got a guy that can nail Reagan, you know, like do it to a T. But we're going to get going here in a minute. But I do want to talk about comedy a little bit.
Sure.
There is one thing you said that I want to talk about, Dave Chappelle and the transgender, the whole debacle.
Yeah.
The reason I respect what he did was he got some trouble, not in trouble, but, you know, a little blowback. What do? He doubled down on it.
Absolutely.
You know, and I respect it. And it wasn't hate for them at all. You know, and people just, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
They got after him because he talks about a transgender comic that he became friends with.
Right.
Yeah, they brought him up and he was making fun of them, you know, but he was making fun of the person.
Right.
Not the transgender, the person of the, you know. And people gave him shit about it. Well, he came back and he did another special and he went even worse on it, you know? And he basically said, I'm rich, so fuck you. Right. If you don't like it, I'll go sit in my mansion. I don't care. Right. whatever you want to do, you know. That's when you brought that up, that's one thing I do respect, you know. You got to have respect and love for people.
Absolutely.
But I mean, sometimes we're getting to a point where it's just like, let it go, man.
Right.
You know, so.
He, one of the stories he told is he said he was in a nightclub and this trans person, like, he said, I don't know if they overdosed or whatever, but they hit the floor and they were convulsing. And he said, I went over there and I'm like, is he okay? And all their gay friends were like, it's a she. And I said, okay, fine. Well, her dick just popped out of her underwear. So, you know, if we're really going to play these semantics, let's talk about this, you know?
Yeah.
And I do, like, my shirt, I'm a vegetarian.
Right.
I talk about trans people. And I, you know, I say that I'm on the internet dating. And I'm like, I realize I by no stretch of the imagination, I'm a piece of ass. Right. So I started to eat healthier. I became a vegetarian, you know, but I won't go down on a trans woman because that's processed meat. So I won't do that. That's not good for you. Too much salt.
Too salty. Yeah. What's your favorite thing about comedy, man?
The happiest I am on in the course of a day is on stage.
Yeah.
And I like pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys heard, 2 years ago, I got attacked on stage in New York City, and they dislocated my shoulder and stuff like that. It was right after the whole Oscars thing.
Okay.
And I did a radio show after that in New York, and they're like, are you going to tone down your material now? I said, fuck no. I said, I'm ratcheting it up.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I'm tired. It's comedy. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself as well as other people, don't come to the show.
Yeah.
You know, that's just all there is to it, because I make fun of myself all the time.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I'll tell you what, even like sitting here, not doing a show, but I mean this show, but making fun of yourself, it makes life so much less stressful.
I agree.
Yeah.
So much less. You're like, fuck, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, or if somebody makes fun of you, instead of getting defensive, you're just like, yeah, I did that. I'm stupid.
Dude,
you know?
I own stuff even if it's not true, because it stops. If someone starts talking shit to you, I just start owning it. Yeah. Yeah, that is me, you know. Yes, I do like processed meat. It's fantastic. Oh my God, protein. Protein weighs super expensive, but you can get it free, you know, from friendly people, you know. But
do you know, you guys know who Rich Voss is?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was at the Rio, at the Comedy Cellar with him, and watching him work, his entire set was just talking shit to the crowd. Yeah. I could not believe it.
Like, yeah.
And he just sat there, and there was a black girl off to the side, and she had those really fancy beads with the braids and stuff, you know. And there was a lull.
He did that? Yeah.
Yeah, he does it all the time.
With your ashy ass?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, okay.
He goes, how much it costs to get that done? And she was like, $600 or whatever it costs. He's like, really? Can you wash them? You know, he's just asking all these questions. And then he looks, and he goes, notice how upset and uptight the white audience gets when you start talking to a black girl about her braids. I was like, and then at the end of the show, you know, he did some other stuff and they didn't laugh at something. And he looked back at that black girl. He goes, white people. Am I right? I was like, that's awesome, dude.
I saw the clip when someone yelled racist at him, called him a racist on stage. And he went off.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what? It was a whole black audience. And about 2 minutes into this rant, they were all on his side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's a very gifted. Another New York comic that I love is Nick DiPaolo.
Oh, yeah.
Massive Nick DiPaolo fan. Are you familiar?
I am.
This guy, I don't know how he's still on the air, because he's fantastic, you know. But his Raw Nerve album is one of my favorite albums of all time, you know. For me, I don't like overly vulgar comedy. I like clever comedy.
Right. You know?
Yeah. My favorite jokes are the ones that make me giggle, Gio, but they're the ones that make me go, shit, that was clever.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that?
Think about it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. How many times after a show I came to you and like, that joke they told, that was amazing. You know, mm-hmm. And I'll always tell a comic, and I feel this is the biggest compliment I can give a comic is, that was an awesome written joke. That was a very well-written joke. That was amazing, you know, because I've heard so many comics tell jokes that, I mean, it's a great joke, but it's the way they've worded it and written it that makes it just pop, you know, just makes it power through your fist or through your face, you know? So that's my favorite, is the clever comedy.
And one of my favorite comedians that did it that way, and I had the opportunity to meet him when I was on Last Comic Standing in New York, was...
You were on that.
Yeah.
I forgot.
2010.
Right. Yeah.
Greg Giraldo.
He was the king, dude.
Genius.
Yeah. Yes.
Genius. The way he crafted his stuff was like amazing. Mm-hmm.
The roasts. He's the king of that. They give Jeff the
Jeff Ross.
General Draw for they give him the credit for being the no man. Giraldo was the king, dude.
Absolutely. Right.
Some of the shit he said.
Oh my god.
Like it's a joke and everybody's supposed to laugh, but some people got all.
He didn't care. Yeah, exactly.
I was crying, but it's,
he didn't give a shit.
He was amazing. Yeah, you know,
it's a roast.
Yes.
What do you do? You guys remember or do you know Alex Ash?
Yeah, we have a great joke about Alex Ash, but go ahead. Okay.
We have a great story about that.
Well, I barely knew him when I, you know, when I started doing well in the comedy scene, and we were at, what was the name of that? Doesn't matter, but we were at this little restaurant they used to have comedy at. TJ Miller was there that night, too.
Right.
And he asked me and TJ to roast him because it was his birthday. I'm like, dude, I hardly know you. And he's like, no, it'll be great. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I only knew a few things about him. I knew that he had killed that homeless person, hit him with a car.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And but I knew he had gotten over it because he knew it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
And so I roast him for like 10 minutes. And at the end, I'm like, actually, I'm kidding. I go, Alex is an amazing person. He's a great humanitarian. Thank you.
Yeah.
I said, as a matter of fact, a lot of people don't know that he works diligently to end homelessness. The problem is he's only doing it one bum at a time.
That's horrible.
And Matt Baca was in the back, and all of a sudden you hear, oh, and Matt Baca was like, holy shit, he went there. Like, oh, my God, it was great.
You asked me roasted, Ben.
That's what I told him. I was like, you're not mad. And he goes, no. I'm like, dude, you asked for it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Like, if you're going to ask me to roast, let's be prepared.
If you want
to
dance, we're going to dance the whole dance.
Exactly.
I've always felt very blessed to be part of. I'm not a comedian. I booked the shows, you know, and I've done some comedy, but people are like, Larry's a comedian. Larry's not a comedian, you know?
Yeah.
And I always tell them, Ron Ferguson, who we talked about earlier, is the one who pointed the difference out to me. Because, you know, when comics do comedy for the first time, then their Facebook page becomes
comedian.
Comedian Bob Jackson, whatever, you know? And I guess Ron will ask him, does your W-2 say comedian on it?
Right.
Does your do your taxes say comedian on it?
Right.
No. So you're not a comedian, you know? There's the difference.
You're an open micer.
Right. But I've always felt very blessed to be within the radius of comics, you know, and part of that Denver comedy scene because it's Colorado's got a badass comedy scene. They, you know, it's there's a lot of talented men and women walking around this state, you know. So we're very blessed to.
And you're absolutely right about that, you know. And I've seen so many people that have done a couple of. And then when they do the open mic at Comedy Works.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I killed it. I destroyed it. I'm like, dude, how can you not?
Yeah, it's, just like it's comedy a comedy works.
Club, and that's what they want.
Yes.
Go to 404 or go to
Lion's Lair.
Lion's Lair.
Yeah.
Go do your comedy there and see how well they receive you.
First time I ever did comedy was at 404.
Was it really?
Yeah. And I actually did. I think I did decent for a first time.
Yeah. That was a good room.
Yeah.
Yeah. We enjoyed it.
But Lion's Lair. Fuck. Do you remember? I can't remember his name. The comedian that got punched at Lion's Lair.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, he was talking shit about Asians, and there was a Marine there, and he had an Asian girlfriend.
Oh, no.
And so the guy said something like, what are you going to do? Come up here and kick my ass? And fucking Marine walked up to the stage, boom, and like laid him out. Dick Black was there, I think, and a bunch of other people. But it was like, holy shit.
There was another one after Tuesday night at Comedy Works, open mic night. It was a real rough one. Like Sam Talent, those guys used to frequent it all the time. Where was it on Colfax?
Oh, it was Lion's Lair, and then it was.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, too. Like
the Squire.
Remember. The Squire.
The Squire. Yeah. That was. Those two, if you could get just one laugh, you were doing okay.
I went once with Steve Young. He's like, you never been there? I go, no. So we left my car in downtown Denver, and we got in his car and went over there. And I was like, I was at the bar with my beer laughing, like, this is horrible. This is honest to God awful. Like, this is straight up dangerous. You know what I mean? So,
and this, like, I'll get off stage if I have a bad show. And this, Ron will say the same thing. I'll get off stage. I'm like, fuck this. I'm never doing this again. Fuck comedy.
Yeah.
Fuck this. And then the next night, I'll have a great show. I was like, God, I love doing comedy.
Yeah, you know? I'm never doing this again until the next time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that is, when someone comes up to you afterwards, like I did a joke during the BP oil spill where I dropped the N-bomb, you know?
Yeah.
And the only people ever heckled me were white people, you know? And I told Dick Black and I can't remember who else I told about it, but they're like, that's a good fucking joke, but they're like, you better have some serious shit coming after that that's just as funny, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like you gotta. It's up to each individual comedian, I say, to be yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try and work the room. This was told to me by Artie Lang. We were at Caroline's, which I missed. That was a great room. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "What do you want out of comedy?" And I'm like, "Well, I could blow smoke up your ass and say I just want, you know, to be famous and people to laugh." I said, "But I want to be fucking rich.
Yeah.
I want to do movies." He's like, "That's what you got to do, movies and TV." And he said, "Don't go looking for your audience." He said, "Just be yourself and your audience will find you."
Yeah.
You know? And it's so true. Like, how many people, you mention a comedian and some people say, "Oh, they suck."
Yeah.
Really? Well, they sold out Red Rocks three nights in a row. So how bad do they suck? You know, it's just like, it's subjective, like music. You know, some people can think Metallica is the greatest band in the world. Other people could not like Metallica.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're not talented.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is maybe not a popular opinion here, but the guy who gets so much hate right now is that Matt Rife.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
You don't like him.
I don't think he's funny.
I mean, he doesn't have to be funny. The guy works.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I tell people when they start talking shit about him. I'm like,
everything he has, he earned.
Yeah, he works his ass off. So, yeah. I mean, that's why people really do hate him, too. A lot of people do.
Well, and then when he posed, like, shirtless on his CD cover.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, "Oh," it's like, you know what? If I look like that, I'd fucking pose topless on my CD
cover.
But
both,
nobody wants to see this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I said, penis enlargement surgery, and I got to do it.
Right,
and like 9 inches. I would no longer own any pants.
Right,
I don't pants for when it's cold.
Swinging.
You know what I'm saying? That's it, dude. In summer, they're like, "There goes Larry." Thop, 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 thop. You know, that's how I get down, bro. If you got to flaunt it, right? That's
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if that's what works for you, no. Then another guy that did that with his looks is Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a comedian personally, but he tells really clever stories.
Yeah.
And he tells humorous stories. But I don't consider him a comedian, but he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And that helped get him to where he's at. Women have been doing it since the beginning of time.
Yeah. Well, he also, MySpace and Facebook, he was one of the first comics to ever really grab social media and run with it, you know?
Yeah.
But he worked his ass off. I'm not a Dane Cook fan either. I watch his comedy. I'm like, there's some okay
in
there.
It's a clever story.
Yeah, there's some clever stuff in there. But I'm not a fan, but I'll always respect a guy who works, you know? Yeah. And most comics, there's very few that – let me take the other side. I've seen some of the funniest sons of bitches on stage, even come through our rooms. But I can tell you, some of them are lazy. You know what I mean? You can tell they don't work for it. You know, they just, they like doing the comedy. They don't, but they don't go out and promote like they should. I mean, if you're talented and you have a good work ethic, how do you fail at that?
Right.
You know?
And there's a comedian in town that Matt Baca and I have had conversations about. And he's just naturally, just funny as shit.
Yeah.
Naturally. And he made the statement with me and Matt and a couple other people. He's like, he goes, "I don't know what's so hard about comedy. This shit's easy." And Matt looked at me afterwards after he went away. And Matt goes, "I wanted to punch him right in the fucking throat."
Yeah.
He's like, "This is hard."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it came natural to him. Kind of like a Dave Chappelle, you know?
Right.
It just came natural to him. But he doesn't work at it. You know, he could be huge if he just worked at it.
Yeah. The work ethic. And I've seen comics that have started off rough, like, you know, open mic and stuff, you know, and you're like, "This guy ain't going to do it." And a couple years later, they came to feature for us or whatever.
They were like, "Holy fuck, man."
Yeah, yeah.
Where'd this guy come
from? Was one, I won't say his name, but I insulted him by accident. I said, "Man, you've gotten amazing." He's like, "I was amazing to begin with." I'm like, "You're amazing now." Let's focus on
that's all that counts.
Yeah. But he'd gotten so good. But this dude worked his ass off. I mean, like, open mic nights 5 days a week.
And that's
shit.
What it's for.
Yeah.
You know, when I was at Caroline's, before they closed, you know how at any open mic, they make the comics sit in the back,
right?
No matter who you are.
Right.
You know, and we're sitting in the back with barely any light working on our stuff, you know, it's an open mic to work things out. And this guy is like, "Hey, man, is that seat taken?" I'm like, "No, go ahead." You know, I didn't pay any attention.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, I'm going to try some new stuff." And he gets up and I look and it's, what's his name that got canceled for jacking off?
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. That's who was sitting next to me. And then he's like, he goes, "Yeah, I'm going to try some new stuff." And I was like, "All right." And then I looked up and I was like, "Holy shit, that's, you know."
Yeah.
But that's how these comics that I've met, that I've been fortunate enough to work with.
Right.
They said that's how we do it.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the comedy store in L.A.
Right.
You don't know who's going to drop in.
That's what I've heard.
The biggest names, you'll have all these locals, and then all of a sudden, "Oh, Dave Chappelle's here," you know, or "Dave Attell's here."
Yeah.
And they just come in and they do 10 minutes to, like, you have to.
Yeah.
comedy, to me, I tell people, it's like when you work out. If you don't work your talent, you get atrophy.
Yeah.
You're not as sharp, and you're not as quick-witted, and you're not as ready to go.
Right. Yeah, you can tell. Well, we're past our time. Oh, okay. So, no. Gio, this has been an amazing conversation. I've really enjoyed you coming down, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. It's fun to have. Well, comics are all natural storytellers, right? I mean, it just naturally comes to comics.
It's our job.
Yeah, the bullshitters, bro. But no, thank you so much for coming
on. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm Moose Lundstrom.
I'm Adam Vokey.
Hey, till next time. Peace.